Well, hello and welcome to the This Awesome Life podcast. It's a collection of stories that point to purpose. I'm Brandon, I'm your host, and I have an awesome life. But that's not that special because so do you. Having an awesome life is just about waking up every day and living out your purpose. That purpose comes from God and living in a way that He has created us and called us to live. In every episode of This Awesome Life, we talk to a friend. We get to hear a little bit about their story, and we get to hear about the moments in which God has shown up in their life and pointed them forward in their calling. Today, we're talking to my friend April Knight. April is incredibly gifted and incredibly creative. She does so many things to help people understand and relate to the gospel through her art. I'm not going to take a ton of her thunder away. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell her own story, but I cannot wait to have this conversation and talk about how our creativity can be the centerpiece of our purpose if we will allow it. So without further ado, let's dive in, let's explore some stories, and celebrate this awesome life. All right. Well, like I said, I am here with my good friend, April Knight. April and I attend the same church. We've been friends for a very long time. Just reminded me as we were talking before this that we've known each other for almost 20 years, which seems crazy. I don't feel old enough to know somebody for 20 years.
We're not that old. I know.
We met when we were one. Yeah, you know. Just
yeah,
kidding.
But, right.
No, so we've been friends for a long time. I'm super excited to have this conversation. Before we jump in, April, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us about all the awesome things that you've got going on in your life.
Okay, well, my name's April Knight, and I serve alongside Brandon and his family at our church. We live in Asheville, North Carolina. I am an artist by trade, sort of this sort of niche of I make artwork, but I also produce creative Bible study resources, and I lead a ministry that puts on creative worship retreats for women is sort of our tagline. So we just passionate about helping people connect with God in a creative way, and we do that through, you know, teaching, worship, really merging art and this reflective connection with God. So that's sort of where I am, and it has many different parts that all have sort of developed over the years, which I'm sure many of you can relate to. So yeah,
absolutely. Cool. So that's that sounds fun, like a different sort of idea. You know, I remember watching you kind of from a distance throughout the years developing these things. And for me, from the outside, it always just looked like, oh man, April's known that she's going to do these things from day one. Like she woke up and from, you know, just right from the start, just knew, like, I'm going to do this with my life. So tell us a little bit of your story about how you came to, I don't know, just embrace that calling of being a worship artist and finding the way to, like, merge several of these areas together that you do so well.
Sure. So I actually didn't really get into art until I was in high school. And I took one of those independent study art classes, and I always loved art. I really enjoyed it. I realized I was okay at it. You know, I could do it. And so I was also, like, very sure I wanted to be a nurse. I always loved the family of God. I've always loved that mission, that missional life. So I kind of, like, the only box I really knew how to put it in was, like, I thought I was going to be this nurse, this missionary nurse, and just see God move and also offer a service to help people. So shortly after that, I had graduated high school, and I remember, like, the summer after high school, I was part of this retreat where I was, like, they called it a creative worship conference for teens. And so I was just helping, like, doing whatever. And I remember one moment that night, like, just telling God, like, I'll give you my art, whatever you want to do with it. I was like scheduled to go to nursing school. And it was sort of this, like, naive, I really meant it, but I had no thoughts on how that would kind of shift or grow, whatever. So then fast forward, I was in nursing school for about 2 years, and a 4-year program. So, but I had this second moment at a conference where I felt like God was asking me, and actually through a word of really prophetic prayer from someone I didn't know, who said, God is wanting you to die to something and to give something up. And when you do, it's going to change your life. And it's also going to influence the life of others and encourage others to worship God through their gifts of creativity. And that sounded wonderful, you know. And also, I never considered pursuing art, because at that age, we're talking 20 years ago, like, their internet was not, Pinterest was not available. Even this like self-promotional artist that is so accessible now was not, you know, at the time. I knew one other artist who was a professional doing something that I had imagined I would do. So anyway, right away, I felt the hurt, the voice of the enemy telling me, like, this is not going to work. You are going to fail. This is not going to work. Like, I could feel him like right here in my ear. And, but I knew in my spirit, God was like asking me, like, if you want to, I will invite you into this shift. So I went to college. I quit nursing school. I called my grandfather, who was like paying for half my education. And he said, don't you think you want a backup plan? And he was like a man of God. And I was like, Papa, I don't need a backup plan, because if I have a backup plan, that means I don't trust the Lord. And I don't know what he was thinking on the other side of the phone, but I was like so certain God had called me to this thing. And yeah, I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. I never wanted to work for myself, because I was like, that is too hard. I don't want to be in charge of my own paycheck. I did not want to do that. So, but it was like, I knew that's what God was calling me to. So I quit nursing school. I enrolled in all art classes in this college that didn't even have an art major. So my degree is actually in religion with an art minor. And that wasn't that big of a deal, because I kind of knew I didn't know what it was going to look like. At the time, it was like I was doing a lot of live worship painting, which was kind of a very cool thing in the, what was it, 08? So like early 2000s.
And 20 years ago was the 1980s, right?
Yeah. And at that time, yes. And I was doing a lot of I would say like abstract scripture illustration paintings. And I was teaching some smaller art classes here and there. And, you know, it has evolved. But the shift, that surrender and like laying down and then and trusting God, that initial moment was definitely the turning point of how I moved from the medical, the very dependable nursing career to this sort of dream of like, it could be anything. So.
Yeah, that's really good. So you said, you know, where you're at this conference, you get this word from somebody who just walks up to you and just kind of tells you, is this somebody that you knew? Like, did they know you at all, like know your heart and your passions, or was it just kind of like a total Holy Spirit situation?
Yeah, it wasn't even like this big fancy conference. It was with this band called Enter the Worship Circle. I don't know if you ever remember them. I didn't know them. I was just there to be with friends who were also like Jesus chasers. I will call us that, you know, wherever God was moving. Like, we're going to go to this company. So interestingly, they had art workshops. And so like one of the breakouts was like this like free painting time, which that's where I should have gone, right? Like that's where, but I had this weird thing, like this breakout was called The Direction for Your Life. And I was like, that just sounds kind of cool. And so this girl sat there like on a stool and just was talking to us about like, if you could do one thing in the whole world, like what would you do? And I remember you know, just there were like 20 of us in the room sitting on these chairs. And I said, I would like, if I could do anything, I would paint all day long. I mean, I'm like pursuing this nursing career and all I get. So anyway, that's all it said. Then the girl next to me, who her name was Brie, that's all I know about her. She was really cool looking. She had dreadlocks. And then the leader of the breakout. So we're going to go into a time of prayer and intercession. And if you feel like God is, you know, nudging you to speak to someone, I just want to encourage that. So then this girl next to me, Brie, she leans over to me and I am like so sure she's going to ask me for prayer, because I was this like, you know, I love the Lord, which is like so prideful of me, but I was like, oh, let me hear what it is you have, what do you need, you know. And she like, that was probably my first true moment of like a prophetic word to be spoken over me, and it was really amazing. And so I'm like so grateful for that woman who took a chance on following the nudge of God, because I wouldn't have, who knows, God would have spoken anyway in some other way, but that was so pivotal for me. And so even that, just like when you feel God nudging you, there's always this like multiplication, you know, holy domino effect when we are willing to follow the nudge of God, even when we don't understand, you know. And even me, like, saying yes to God, I was kind of sure right away I'd be an art teacher. That was like, maybe that's how I'm going to put this in this box. And, you know, then I like told my Jesus friend who I'd come with, and she was like leading a ministry. She was in her 30s. And she said, oh, I could have told you that you would follow that. But like, I didn't know that, you know? So.
Yeah. It would have been nice for you to go ahead and tell me that, since you knew all the time, you know?
Well, yeah. You know, she was a very prophetic person. And so maybe God had like just sprinkled some, I mean, she had seen me do art and whatever, but yeah, no, I didn't know this girl, but it was a very powerful moment.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it. And so remind me of the timeline. So after this conference, you still went to nursing school for a bit, correct?
So I was at that moment, I was 20 years old. I was like, that was the summer before my junior year of college. So I was in a 4-year nursing program. I'd finished 2 years, and it was 2 days before classes began.
So gotcha.
I
so was this like
on my
is
way to
moment.
School.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went to the nursing office, and I was like, I'm just going to go. They all probably thought I was crazy. But, and Robert, my poor husband, we weren't married. I mean, he was in youth ministry knowing he was going to marry this nurse who had like a steady, at least like middle class income. And
that's the most youth pastor thing to do, by the way, is to marry a nurse. Like, I know so many youth pastors that are married to nurses.
We gotta
so
have
I
some think, stability in
yeah
the
you
house.
Totally ruined that man's plans. And I just, you know, I'm just kidding. You
he
totally
still
did.
Married me, but yeah,
I think
I know
he's probably still that's probably still one of the best decisions he ever made. So, you know,
and he was not there. I don't think he was even there with me at that conference. So like, or maybe he was, I don't know, I don't really remember. But it was a moment.
Okay. I wasn't even going to ask this, but how did that conversation go? Because I know a lot of times that we will hear this thing. Like for me, I know I do it all the time. Like, I have this vision, this idea from the Lord. I'm like, I know this is from the Lord. It might as well be on stone tablets. And I'll go and I'll tell Ashley, my wife, who hasn't had that same interaction or that same experience. And she's like, I don't get it. You know?
Yeah.
And so then that comes back onto me. Am I casting vision properly? But, you know, just out of curiosity. When you have this moment, how do you best communicate that? You know?
So true. Well, I think I was like so like over the moon on fire to have heard this nudge from God that I had no fear telling Robert. I think maybe he was there, but I remember calling my mom and he was sort of like, okay, babe. Like I love him so much. He's such a steady man, a thoughtful. He is not like, if there was, I think you and Ashley are sort of the opposite. I feel like I always end up being this like wild dreamer with all the men
right,
and my
right.
friends, relationships, but he is sort of this like steady anchor. So I don't remember him being like, I don't think so. He was like, okay, let's see what that would look like, you know. But it was a shock to him, you know.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, I remember him being supportive, but I don't remember the same level of like belief and excitement. And that is always that's the hard part when you are like this dreamer and visionary and a feeler and knowing like, I just know this is what I was made for.
Yeah.
And we're looking 20 years, almost 20 years later, there's so many times I've wanted to give up and quit and been like, why am I doing this? Nothing's adding up the way the world is telling me when you've been running a business for 10 years, it should be looking. And as the time has progressed, you know, Robert has stayed this sort of anchor and always been supportive and always worked overtime for no pay to like help facilitate and see this dream, this calling come to life. And as a younger, I think I always desired him to be this like, let's go, you know, like fiery, received a word and we're gonna move. And now I'm so grateful he's not. But as a 23-year-old, I just, you don't get it, you know, like, why can't you, you know, see what I see? And it's like, well, that's because God made him this way and he has so many strengths to help something like this along. It's so divine that we ended up together and that he, you know, even though I haven't always seen this like fiery Holy Spirit led excitement, what I'm getting is what I need, you know, and what God designed. So he's always been so supportive, not always in the feely way I anticipate, but you know, I felt like you would say the same for Ashley.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say the same thing of like, she and I have vision for different things in different ways. And there's always times when she has this big vision for something and I don't quite see it. And you know, I'm working on the audio version of my book right now. And I was just reading one of the chapters again and reading it out loud. You kind of hear it fresh, you know? And so I was reading the story about when we bought our home in Mount Pleasant. And we bought this foreclosure townhouse, which I opened the door and immediately on smell alone, I was out.
I do remember that.
She had this vision for it and I just wasn't catching it. But then I finally saw as we were walking through this house that stunk and was falling apart and it's just terrible. I finally saw something that spoke to me in the same way and it was different. I was like, can you believe this view? And she's like, yeah, it's great. I'm like, no. This is what I'm buying. I'm buying the view. You know what I mean? And she's buying the future and I'm buying this view right now. And sometimes that's how we have to interact. Yeah, like,
that's right.
Hey, if I can just get you to see this view, this picture, and that is enough for today, great. And I will continue to bring the vision. And there's going to be times when she has the big vision and I need the view and vice versa. And so I think that you guys have done a good job of finding that same kind of balance.
Same to y'all. But, I mean, that's so true. That's so good.
Yeah. So it's been great. I was going to ask you how hard it was to walk away from the nursing school side of it, but it sounds like it was just a one and done, very fast conversation.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I would say that initial fire excitement was easy. And where it became difficult was like 5 years in, 7 years in, 10 years in, where I was continuing to swim at this point. At, you know, so let's say that was, I don't know, 2018 would be like 10 years. And so, or, you know, between 2015, 2017, even like 2010, 2011, 2011 is when God gave me this vision for Scripture Doodle, which the simple concept is illustrating a picture of a Bible verse. It's a creative Bible study practice. And at that point, I was just needing something that felt genuine in my work that wasn't for a customer or a client or a class. And in these moments though of like growth and building something that I never even would have said, like, I want to build a company on this. Like, I had no intention of building a company on that. I literally just wanted it for myself. And I think sometimes when God gives us a gift, we often think it's for ourselves, and it is. And then also over time, God shows you, how is this also going to bless my family? How is this going to bless other people? And so there have been moments of like high ups, like, you know, people getting excited about this in, you know, 2011, 2012, or like, I did a Scripture Doodle. Then, you know, we produced a book that I did not want to write. I did not want to write a book, but I was in this like low, where I felt like I had nothing. My business was like in the red. I mean, my business has been in the red so many times over the last 20 years. I'm like, Lord, are we doing this right? And I, you know, and it's that resurrender of like, okay, well, you know, one time, you know, even like a couple years ago, I was like, Lord, I just don't understand like why this is so difficult to make profitable, you know? And I felt like he said, like, that's because ministry was never meant to be a financial thing. Like, it was never really meant to make money, you know? And so like that struggle my whole life has been like, I feel so called to this helping. And also I need to support my family. And I am sure so many Christian entrepreneurs feel that way. Even, you know, pastors who are, anyway, I feel like I'm getting around, but there's been so many ups and downs. And when I wrote this book, I was like ready to quit. Nothing's working. I had several people say, you should write a book about this, Scripture Doodle. And I was like, no, books don't make any money. I am not interested. I'm already not making any money. I do not want to write a book and then spend all this time and energy. And so at one day, like a rainy day in my studio, I said, fine, I will write the book, Lord, but I want a book deal because I'm not going to do this if I can. And so like, long story short, by God doing several things, I joined this online class to learn how to write a book proposal because somebody had said, you need a book proposal if you're going to write a book. So I was like, fine. So I took this online class. And then Robert's grandmother, this is sort of like God weaving all things together. Robert's grandmother was a writer, a poet, like, and she had a friend who was in a writing group with her, and her friend actually was a published author. And so I gave her my book proposal, just saying, hey, will you look at this and just see if it's like trash or if I need to do another. anyway, long story short, she sent it to someone who over a couple years, then I did get this book deal. But it was like so interesting because sometimes I think it is those moments of surrender where God is working and we just feel like there's nothing good coming down the line. And, you know, there's other things I was asking God and I'm still asking God to do in my ministry and business that I haven't seen, you know, that I'm desperately desiring and I'm still asking him for. But, you know, sometimes I think, I don't know, I always think I know best. And, you know, God is saying, well, I'm going to do this other thing and it's going to bless people. And that, you know, that book that I didn't even want is like one of our main resources that get scripture into the world to a lot of people. And so it's just so many times I wanted to quit and I'm not quitting. I mean, that's like my life work. I'm going to keep going. If I could write a book, I would write a book about keep going because I think that's the word of life.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert was telling me the other day about your book title idea.
My
that
book.
I love. I'm not going to, not going to spill the beans there.
It's going to be called Keep Going When Everything Sucks. Cause literally for years I was like, everything sucks. So then like, you know, we have had a very hard season the last 6 months, all of
no
us,
joke.
Your family as well. And I was like, hey, maybe you're supposed to write the book with me. Maybe this really is, you know, anyway,
No, I love it. I love that. It's such a timely piece of advice. Like, I feel like that's the whole book right there. Like the cover says that you open it up and it's just like that again.
Over and over.
The end.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Right.
But what about if this is the situation? You keep going. But
keep
what
going.
About this one?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Don't give up.
Keep going.
You can do it.
Exactly.
God is with you.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And so, okay. How has it been? Like you have this moment of surrender. You start doing the scripture doodle thing. Like you get these ideas, like you're just an idea person who has like, okay, this, and then you got the idea for these retreats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times, for me, I have like all this momentum around ideas and then I just kind of am like, okay, I'm going to do that one day. Like, how do you just make these things happen? I mean, you have this perfectly designed plan that is, you know, foolproof, and then you just do it from there, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So idea is like a trigger word to Robert now. He jokes with me like, oh, like, yeah, because I'm like, babe, I have an idea. He's like, I can't do that today. I don't want to hear your ideas. So, you know, I think if you are listening to this and you are an idea person as well, I would say I am really like a shoot first, aim second kind of person, which I think there's strength to. And I also think there's a lot of struggles in that story as well. So, you know, there's so many, like you, Brandon, there's so many ideas that I've had and have not moved on for very many reasons. One, you know, timeline, there's, you know, right now we're working on this, on these other ideas over time. And as I'm getting older and as I have received business coaching and kind of business mentorship, people have helped me kind of hone in on like, okay, well, if you're doing this year, you can't actually write that Bible study for a year and a half because you're working on this idea. So for many years, it was like, I'd do an idea, I would launch something, and then I'd be like, what's next? You know, and never would really see this initial God idea flourish. To be honest, I wrote this book. I didn't really care to write it. It was fun to write it. But then like after the book came out, I was like moving on. And now you hear writers say like, oh, well, it takes like a solid year and a half of continuing to share. And I mean, you know, you just wrote a book and I've really done a really good job continuing to like share about it. And because I wrote the book and I talked about it twice. And I was like, I don't know, people are not going to like this, you know. And so wasn't it like 5 years later that I like started promoting this book? But I think that, so to get back to your question, many times there's many ideas that don't happen. Okay. And I, you know, having an idea book is great. Get a journal where you put all your ideas and then best case scenario, I'm sitting with those and I'm talking to God about them. Like which ones should we do now? Often I already kind of know, for example, there's this Bible study art series that we've been working on for 2.5 years with a friend of mine. And it's been one of those like slow back burner ideas because it's not, it will be profitable, I think, but like right now there's so many other urgent things, or you know, so that at this point in my business is the issue or the struggle. But I would say when I was young, like the 20-year-old, like for example, Scripture Doodle, I had this idea to make the Scripture Doodle kits, which is like you buy it, you read about it, you learn how to do scripture and Scripture Doodle and implement it into your, you know, day-to-day life. And I think, I remember I had $75 in my business bank account at that moment, $75. So I like did the math and I could make 11 kits, okay? So like, I'm gonna make 11 kits and we're just gonna sell them, you know? And we sold them, period. Then I got so believing in this dream that I went out and I spent everything I made, but then also probably reinvested. Like I bought custom pencils and then I was sure it was gonna blow up. And if I could give any advice to a dreamer with an idea is do not be afraid to start small and stay small until God brings that momentum. Because so many times I would start small and then I'm like a vision. So I see like the end game. I'm still asking the Lord for this retreat center. Like I, for 5 years, I'm like, okay, we're going to have this retreat center. It's going to be amazing. And like, we're not there yet. And I'm like, reward, Lord. But I'm, as I'm getting older, I've learned like, don't push it. Stay where you are. Continue to build and do. So like what I should have done with my profits for my 11 kits is buy 11 more kits and keep right. selling them until there was this demand. But I'm really not a huge business person. I'm just a dreamer. The one thing I keep wanting to say is I think a lot of people who have ideas are afraid or they get caught up in it being perfect or like, yeah. I just, you know, I've heard people over the years like, you just do stuff. I love seeing this. All like, okay, the reality is like, it is not all butterflies and rainbows. Like, it has been really special and really hard. And I'd probably do it again because I know God has called me to this life. But, you know, you have to know, like, every time I produce a resource, every time I empty my funds to pursue this new dream, this new call. I mean, I'm always afraid, but for every retreat we produce, I'm like this one is coming up in a month. I 3 weeks ago, I was telling Ashley and our team, like, I wanted to cancel it. I just, it's been too hard. And so like, you have to know these people who are taking ground in their calling, they are afraid. I believe that, I mean, maybe not, but like for me, like when you released your book, didn't you feel like this sort of like,
oh, absolutely. Were you like, afraid? I'm like, no one's going to buy this thing. Like, I'm so scared. Right? Like, you know what I mean?
It's not worth it.
And it just was like, but I know that God's put this on my heart for a reason.
Bingo.
You know, and some days, right. even today, I still don't know what that reason is, you know?
That's right. Well,
I'm like you. It's not like, it's not doing what I thought it was going to do, you
that's
know?
That's right.
And
yeah.
And so, and, yeah.
But you did it. And that, yeah. you know, I think yeah. sometimes God has said to me many times, like, we are not of this world. So our vision, our dreams, our calling are often not going to jive with this world the way the world is telling you it's done. Because if I had a business coach telling me, like, I would have closed my business several times over, to be honest, you know, like it was 15 years before I ever drew a regular, very small paycheck for myself. So I think there is this on my thought was like, if I am following God and it's exactly and it's going where God wants it to go and doing what he wants to do, it will look XYZ because the world is telling me it's going to look profitable and then you're going to grow. And then you're going to, and the reality is that's not always how it is in the kingdom. You know, like that daily surrender of dying to self and continuing to work alongside God to see his kingdom come. That is the win. Like that is, you know, and we both, like, I pray your book does everything that you want it to do. And I pray that all my dreams do as well. And if they don't, or in the days that they don't, it is the call of God that it keeps me going. And I know the same is true for you. It's not me trying to elevate myself that keeps me going, because one time God was like, April, if you just want to make money, you should have just started a business. Like, that's fine. If that's your end game, you know, just start a business that is like a marketplace business. But you know, but it's when you feel called to it that it is worth it. It is hard, but the strength, the perseverance, that character building that's happening. And then, you know, the moment someone reads your book or reads your podcast or listens to your podcast or reads your blog and is like, hey, that really spoke to me. Like, for example, this is being produced later, but Brandon shared a word this morning on our 21 Days of Prayer that was so powerful to me, you know, and that's you living out your calling, you know, and it really spoke to me. And it's like, you will never have a dollar sign to put towards that moment that God, you were the instrument of God to speak hope to me. And I know there's so many times in my work where the artwork I've done has ministered to people, some brought someone to tears looking at a painting and like, oh, you know, like, well, I think I didn't even sell that painting, you know, so like, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. You know, God is going to meet our needs. And like, even people with all the resources in the world without the Lord are empty and lost. So, you know, if I can follow God and I know he's going to support my family and the journey, the excitement, just begin. If you have the idea, I'm always like, you ask God, like, okay, God, what is my step this week? Yeah. You've given me this nudge. What can I do this week to move it forward?
Yeah.
You don't have to have the whole end game. And he might say like, okay, I want you to take 5 days to pray about it. You better sit down and take 5 days to pray about it. And then ask him the next week. You know, so many times that slow moving forward, you don't have to have all the answers. But I believe there are many people in this world who God has spoken vision to, and out of their own fear and unbelief, they do not walk in it. And then you think about the ripple effect that's not happening, or what, you know, like, there's a whole thing of legacy there. Like, what are you leaving to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers? Like, if I can leave nothing to my children except that they love God the most and they know how to worship him, I mean, end game, I do not care if they spend their whole life pursuing this calling and they live, you know, so just, I want them to love God the most. And I hope and pray that as they see Robert and I live our life, it increases their faith.
Yeah.
And it's not perfect, but they're like, I think this is worth it.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And I think that a lot of times, even if our calling, like, it doesn't blow up, you know, as you're talking about, I was thinking about my book and like how sometimes it's discouraging, you know, where the numbers are, especially like, you know, I did this book launch party and I bought a certain number, like I bought, I had 100 copies with me. I sold all of them. I was like, let's go, you know, but what's funny is I was selling it to the people that I knew were going to buy it, you know,
that's right.
And now it's out
that's
there,
right.
But more than having this product that I'm trying to sell, that for book told me that I could finish something, you know?
Boom. And so, that's right. So good.
Yeah.
And that you will never know God. He's so proud of you. Like, you know, like he called you to this work. You were faithful and you completed something on behalf of him. Yeah. I had this like moment. This is like a sort of an aside, and then I'll be quiet. So you keep talking about my grandfather who passed away. He was so instrumental. He was like a heart for entrepreneurs and loved the Lord. His work was for his family. He passed away last summer, and he's like the patriarch. Is that the man? Like, he was like the heart of our family. And he passed away, and like the day of his funeral, the morning of his funeral, God gave me this like vision and this thought of like God welcoming my grandfather home after 87 years of his life. And like, God was so proud and grateful that my grandfather had finished the work. He did so many things in his life, but like, when you said that I could finish something, that like, that is the end game, that we can get to heaven with all of our shortcomings and failures, but also some of our successes. And like, at the end game, God just wants to welcome his sons and daughters home and say, you did it. I'm so proud of you. You didn't give up. Like, you made it through this life that was very beautiful and very hard, and you gave everything you could, and you didn't always get it right, but I'm so proud of you because you finished, and the enemy did not snatch you out of my hand. You know, like, that is the end game. And like, for you, when you said like, it just showed me like I could finish something, like, what an incredible word. What an incredible triumph over the enemy, who was probably lying to you the whole time, telling you like, you can't finish his book. It's going to suck. You don't have anything to say. I mean, like, I know, because I've heard so many of his things, like, but you finished it. And I know like God is so proud of you. And the fruit is actually his job. That is the hardest thing. I know you believe as a creative as well. Like the fruit. Why not? Why can't I make the fruit? Like, I have a plan, Lord. Like, you know, but you finish it. Yeah, that's so true.
Okay. And it was so, it's for me, there's so many like personal stories in there, and so many, even along the way, like just recounting those stories and looking for what God was trying to say to me through them such a growth process. And it was so healing in a lot of areas.
Wow.
And it was healing in a lot of areas for friends of mine who saw my story from the outside and are now understanding what was going on behind the scenes. And so, you know, maybe it won't be a New York Times bestseller. I actually think it can't be at this point. There's like a time limit, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it won't be a New York Times bestseller, but that's not like really, that was never the goal. The goal was always like, I have a word that I feel like I need to share. And, that's what they say. You don't write a book because you want to. You should write a book because you can't not write it, you know?
100%.
And so, for me, that was what it was all about. It's like, I can't not put this out. And so, there are a lot of points along the way, where it was like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, I remember writing the first check to my editor and being like, you know, because we didn't have it. And it was a step of faith. And I remember, putting my credit card information into a website so that I could get copies of this book. And we, you know, we didn't have it, and it was a step of faith. And so, it's just at every, there's always an out. There's always a reason to quit. And it is when we don't quit.
So many. Yes.
Yeah. It is when we don't quit and when we push through that God will bless us in those things. And, you know, a lot of those reasons to quit are just based in fears. And I've been trying to coach my daughter a little bit mentally for gymnastics. Yeah. And, you know, told her the other day that the fears are very tall and they're very wide, but they're not very thick. And so we just have to press through them and get to the other side. And so I love it. It's so good.
So true.
You said that you're just a dreamer. And I love that because it resonates so heavily with me. And it's yet, maybe we're just dreamers, but yet we've found ways to finish the work, right? In a lot of different seasons. Yeah. What's been the key to that for you? Like, how do you go from a dream to having this thing that you've done, you know, or you've completed?
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I would say a couple things. For me, I am like the queen of a deadline. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I give, I give myself a deadline, I will finish the work. In my early days of doing a lot of custom painting, people would say like, oh, just whenever. And I'm like, I would look at them and I would say, no, you need to tell me when you want this painting done and I will have it done for you. If you don't give me a deadline, it's going to be in the back of my brain just because it's something I don't want to do. I'm not going to be sitting around. I'm going to be doing a bunch of other things that are shiny and exciting or urgent.
Right.
So having a deadline is a killer. I still like that's one of my best pieces of advice, which might sound like simple. But the other thing I would say, and this is something that I didn't really feel like I tapped into until the later years of my ministry and work, is that don't be afraid to like get other people around you to sort of help make this dream come to life. You know, for many years, and my personality is like, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. So like, Robert is always like, just ask them. Like, I'm like, no, babe. They're not, especially if you're peddling a dream that is not a profitable entity, for lack of a better term. So like for me, this retreat, you know, these retreats that have literally never been profitable in 7 years, it's like this investment we make in the ministry and in the hearts. And so like, don't be afraid to like people. There were people who'd come to my retreats and say, I just love this. If you ever need help, I would love to help. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then I wouldn't ask them because I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are going to give all this time and energy and they're not getting anything out of it. But they are getting, you know, when you see God, that contagious God moving on behalf of his people, and even just like watching someone's calling come to life, there is a lot of power and inspiration and value in that. And, you know, don't discount that can bless the person you're asking to come alongside you. And so for me, it's like, I have felt stronger when I've had a couple friends around me who, you know, our first retreat ever, the only reason we did it, like I wrote this in my journal, I want to help plan a retreat, creative retreat someday. And I told one of my best friends, Mary Beth, who at the time, I had written that the year before, but then at that point, we were living in their basement while we were renovating our house in Asheville. And I told her one day, and she literally looked at me, she's like, let's do it. We can do that. We can do this. Let's play this retreat. And do you want to know why we planned the retreat? Because she said we could do it. It wasn't me. I would have probably left it in my journal for a lot more years. And so like that, and Whitney, my other best friend, came along and was, she had so many skills. There's people who have skills listen to this. Also, there's people who have skills who are working the nurses in the world. Like, there are people working steady jobs, right, who want to have this, like, they can give their gifts to something that they see that is kingdom minded. You know, Whitney is one of my best friends. She is like this, like, genius of floral design. She is running one of the leading companies in Charleston, South Carolina, doing this, like, higher end floral than I will ever, you know. And yet she, every year, she's like, I love coming in and doing the design for these events. And many years, I know she's always investing her time. A lot of times she's investing her money to see God move. But for her, that's like the special bit. And like, had I not invited her, like, what if she would have been hurt? That, but in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to make you do anything you don't want to do. And so, like, Robert always says, you can't say no for people. Yeah. And I think if you have this, like, maybe people pleaser isn't the right word, but if you have this heart to, like, never dishonor or inconvenience anyone, sometimes you just need to be like, no, I feel like God is, and yeah, I feel like God is nudging me to ask these people. And, like, you know, Ashley as well, your wife, like, you know, her coming alongside us in this season to plan these retreats. And this is the first year we built a little volunteer team. I would have canceled the retreat. And Robert was like, no, you have this great team. Just tell them it's really hard right now and they're going to come alongside you. And they have. And so giving yourself a deadline and getting people around you is, that has probably been the main thing that has kept me going.
That's so good. And I love that you said Mary Beth is like, let's do it. And it wasn't like, it wasn't her going, yeah, April, you should do that. She's like, let's do it together.
She's amazing. You know? She is like believer. She is literally, I always say, like, Mary Beth, you're like the evangelist in everything. Like, you could sell anything. Like, you believe in something. Like, she moved to Charleston for college. Her whole entire family moved to Charleston because she made them feel like it. And it is great. So, like, yeah, getting that the right person around you to say, like, yeah, let's see. And she did. And we lost a bunch of money. It was wonderful. And also, when you were talking about, like, the investments you were making in your book, there is this verse, I don't know, it's like Old Testament, where David, I think it's King David, is like buying the field to do the thing, like to worship or whatever. And man who owns this field is like, I'm going to give you this field. And he's like, no, I will not offer the Lord a sacrifice that has cost me nothing. Yes. And Jan Radicoff had me paint that in our Seacoast office years and years ago. And I did not understand the verse. I'm like, this is a weird verse to write on here. But then I understood the context afterwards. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, so many times, like, that was your sacrifice of worship, your sacrifice of calling. And it costs you a lot. And really, God and you are the only ones who really know how much it has actually cost you. Right. But it makes it all the more beautiful because it costs you and you still offered it to God. You know, you weren't just riding this free train of, like, you know, and then getting this glory, you know, that you did this thing that cost you nothing. It cost you something and it's beautiful. And so I always remember that verse, like, that's right, you know. This is my sacrifice and it's costing me. And I think at the end of my life, I'm not going to care. I'm going to be so glad in all of its imperfection. Okay. In every dollar I have dumped into my kingdom dreams, I don't think I'm going to care. I think I'm going to be really glad that I did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think even, you know, as I look back, even if my book never sells another copy, I'll still be so, so glad that I did it. You know, I'll still look back and know that there were however many people who did read it, that which is probably less than the number of people who bought it, if, you know, just being honest. I've got a lot
Same
of books
here.
On
I
my shelf.
So, I bought your book. I never opened it, but I'm going to open it. I'm like, with no pressure.
Yeah. But, you know, the people that did, and if hopefully my story helped, you know, them in some way and helped them point them closer to Jesus. And if so, then awesome. I did what, you know, like you said, the fruit's up to him. I did the work. I put it, did the labor. As much as I would love to reap the harvest, like, it's his harvest and he's going to do with it what he wants to do with it. And I've got to be okay with that. It's kind of like, I've been, you know, trying to get healthy this year and want to, like, lose some pounds. And, I refused to weigh myself more than once a week because I'm not trying to get this, like, roller coaster ride of emotions when I go up and down. But because of that, I'm noticing all these other things that indicate to me that I am making progress. There's some other I heard it, somebody said, focus on the non-scale victories, right?
Intangibles or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, like, that has been the driving force throughout the days that I'm not jumping on the scales, these non-scale victories. Like, how do I feel? Like, how do I, like, my pants are looser. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's right. Those things.
And I have energy. Yeah, I'm not like creaky and sore all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Or maybe you are sore.
But yeah, still a little sore. But, but you know, it's those things that will keep you going in your calling. When you have one of these retreats, like, you can look at the scale victory, which is the bank account, right? Or you can look at those non-scale victories, which is the stories that people tell you of how their lives have been changed forever because of your investment. And I don't know, man, like, for me personally, that I would rather have somebody say, hey, my life was this way before and it's this way now and it's closer to God because I picked up this book or read this chapter or read your blog post or whatever. To me, that makes it worth the investment.
And that's the win.
I'll let God do with it what he wants to do. So, yeah.
So good, awesome. Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I have one more question just as we kind of wrap up, but you know, my heart and passion is for the next generation. We've got kids and students that are coming up behind us and they're confused by what's going on in the world. Really? And a lot of them are trying to figure out who they are, discover, right now the cool thing to do is to craft your own identity, right? Like, make your brand or whatever. But for me, it's so I feel like it's so true and so important to share that our true identity and true purpose is discovered, not created. And I think that, you know, you've done that so really well. True. So I might have a two-part question here. Of one is, what kind of advice would you give to a somebody that was in your same situation? Maybe they're just starting college or coming out of high school, or they're a little younger, trying to figure out what God's calling them to do. And then second part would be, when their calling seems to be something that's different outside of, like, the norm, you know, even your grandfather was like, don't you want a backup plan?
Yeah.
If their calling is something that is not met with, like, a, yeah, you should do that. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Okay. So the first question was, what would my advice be to someone in that, like, 1920, whatever.
Or yeah, just trying to discover their purpose.
Yeah, trying to discover. This is, like, super cliche, but I would literally say, like, get in the Word of God. Stay around people who inspire you in your spirit. Like, people who you, like, literally, like, following God, loving God the most is the only, it's the only way. Because it will ground you when there are so many voices in the world telling you, and even, like, there are so many more voices than there were 20 years ago when I was in that same moment. And so I would just say, like, ask the Lord, spend time. I, you know, carve out a little bit of time to ask God, what is it that, you know, and I would say, don't be afraid to dream. Like, for me, dreaming, that sort of moment where that woman said, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? You know, and to me, it was something that I loved to do. I think there's this, misconception that the thing that we have been called to do will probably be something that we don't love, that, like, God is going to ask us to do this thing that, you know, so many good books about that. Garden City is an incredible book to read. Master of One by Jordan Rayner has a similar word. And the premise is, like, God has already put inside of you so many gifts, so many skills. So I would say, like, sit down and journal, like, what are some things you love? What are some things you're good at? You know, hopefully not, like, necessarily, like, self-serving things or whatever, but, like, do you love art? Do you love, you know, I think the bend is, like, well, I'm, like, if you're maybe 18, 17, I love sports. Like, okay, well, what could you do around those things that, you know, just don't be afraid to dream with God. And then when you have the moment that lights up your soul, write it down and then keep praying about it and staying around people who would believe in you, but also believe in God's ability to deliver on a promise or on a dream. But for me, at that point in my life, I was around the most radical people for Jesus that I could find. I was like, those people have this wild faith. I'm trying to be around that. Because the belief is what keeps you going. That faith in God to move is what will fan your flame, in my opinion. So, you know, don't be afraid to be with God and stay around the most holy people that you, in a beautiful way, not, like, in like a Pharisee way, you know, like the ones who like light up your heart for Jesus, like get around those people and do life with them and watch God, you know, make your heart more alive. And then, so like if your calling is different or sort of like countercultural, I think that if you have a moment where God has communicated to you, like for me, it was, I'm going to let you pursue art. You know, I had this moment to go back to. So if you have this moment of revelation with God, there are going to be times when you're going to second guess it, or you're going to think like, this is too hard. You'll go back to the lesson God said to you, and you treasure that moment of revelation to know, wait, this, you know, and then watch for the confirmation and hold on to those confirmations. So when I was in that moment with that lady and she said, you're going to die to something, pursue something else, and you're going to help others worship God through their gifts of creativity. That second semester after, when I got back to college, I had 2 to 3 very impactful coffee meetings with people who said like, hey, so-and-so told me I should come talk to you because you like quit nursing school and God is doing this wild thing in your life. And I have this dream for my life. Can we talk about it? So, you know, that was that confirmation of what that woman had said to me kind of coming around. So it was this like nugget, this Ebenezer stone, if you will, of moments of confirmation. I don't know, for me, there were definitely people who probably thought I was crazy. And what in that moment, what I was holding on to was that revelation from the Lord. But there were also people, find the Mary Beths in your life. You know, find the ones who love the Lord and are willing to believe with you and cling to those. There's this verse in the Bible that talks about, do not cast your pearls before swine.
Yep.
And one time when I was like 19 and I was like having a hard day, someone I love actually had kind of like spoken a negative word over my dream. And the lady who I was babysitting for was like, you know, April, like I told her, and she's like, you know, there's this verse in the Bible that talks about don't cast your pearls before swine. Like those things that are really close to your heart, like don't be afraid to treasure those. Don't be afraid to, like, I'm sure Mary, when she had Jesus and had disappeared to the angels, she probably wasn't like standing on the street corners telling everybody that the angel had given her this work, because they probably would have thought she was crazy. But to the ones who it mattered to, they believed in the truth that God had said to her. So don't be afraid to treasure those things up and find the right people to fan into flame this calling. And then when you feel discouraged and you want to give up, you go back to that lesson God said, and you just keep talking to God about it. And he's going to give you different moments of revelation and faith as you go. And to me, those moments of like, April, keep going. You know, there's a few moments in my life when God has given me a fresh encouragement many times. Those were in moments that I had set an hour aside to get in the studio and paint something that didn't matter. Or if you're a writer, sit down and journal something that doesn't matter and just ask God to speak to you. You know, I'm reading this book about the battlefield of the mind and how she talks about how when there's so much chaos and noise in your brain, God could be speaking to you, but you're not hearing it because there's so many other voices. So like guarding your mind when you have this moment where you need a word from the Lord, get quiet. Don't let the other things distract you. To me, the social media, the scrolling, the chores, whatever, like treasure those moments, take that time away. God will speak to you. And it might be a little nugget, but it's probably enough to keep you going. And that's what it has been for me.
That's so good. That's awesome. There's a lot in there. I loved that you said, don't be afraid to dream as you search for your calling. You and I have a mutual friend, Tara Banks, who was was a guest on season one of this podcast. And I don't remember if she said it on the episode or if it was in our conversation before and after. I think it was in the conversation before, because I had mentioned it. I had mentioned, I was like, on the episode, I said, I wish I had recorded that so that everybody could hear it, but we didn't. So too bad. But this was right before my book came out. And so we were talking about that a little bit. And she looks at me with her, all of the southernness that she can muster. Yeah. And she said, and one of the things that I always say is, don't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling. And, so I'm actually looking at a post-it note on my wall that says that, because I collect these things and just as reminders. But don't be afraid to dream, and then don't be afraid to dream a little bigger. But man, also finding those people in your life that will help carry it, and you can borrow their faith when you need it, is just incredible. Huge. It's huge. So,
Huge.
April, thanks so much for being on this episode today. Before we jump off, why don't you tell people where they can find you if they want to connect with you or scripture noodle or any of that kind of stuff.
Good. Yeah. So we're on social media, Instagram, wellcraftedretreats.com, scripture doodle. Okay. The handle is wellcraftedretreats and scripture doodle. And then our websites are scripturedoodle.com, wellcraftedretreats.com. So yeah, connect with us, follow. We'd love to share and hear back from you.
Awesome. And we'll put all those links down in the show notes as well, just to help you get connected with April. Highly encourage it. I think so right now I'm actually working on a resource to put out to help families kind of find new creative ways to incorporate scripture into their regular routines. And one of those ways that I've really kind of highlighted is just through artistic expression. And so hopefully help point people that way as well. But man, I just love, I mean, doing scripture doodle type stuff has helped me so much. And I, you know, learned it from you. So, and if you're looking for a way to freshen up your quiet time or your, you know, relationship with God, those are some great resources to check out. So again, April, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like it goes without saying, but I need to say it anyway. April Knight is unashamedly one of my favorite people. She's just so encouraging. She's got so much wisdom, and I just love the way that she shares that wisdom so generously. She is such a just generous person, generous of spirit. She will always, she's one of the people that always shows up and looks for ways to serve others, and I am so blessed to have her as a friend. Man, just there were just so many things in that conversation that spoke to me personally with where I'm at and the things that I struggle with and the things that I'm trying to navigate right now. But just so much encouragement for when you find yourself in a difficult season or if you're trying to discern your calling. There was there were a bunch of things that really jumped out to me. First, you know, she said that she told God she's gonna give him her art. And she genuinely meant it, but she didn't have any idea what it meant to actually do that. And I think a lot of times in my life, I've done the same thing. I'm like, God, I'm going to surrender this thing to you. I'm going to give this thing fully to you for you to use it however you see fit. And I mean it. I genuinely mean it. But at the same time, I have no idea what he's actually asking me to do. And I just, you know, for me, it's just so encouraging to know that we serve a God who loves us, who wants us to have a full life, who wants us to have an abundant life. And oftentimes we look at, you know, this calling, we're afraid to pray prayers like, God, I'll do anything you want me to do, or I'll go anywhere you want me to go, because we believe that if we say that, then God is going to put us in the absolute worst situation that we've ever been in. He's going to make us suffer through this thing called purpose, or this thing called life, or this thing called calling. And that's just not his heart. His heart is for us to have joy in this life. And that doesn't mean that we're never going to have hard seasons, that we're never going to have struggles, that we're never going to have to do things that we don't want to do. But it does mean that at the end of the day, God is going to help us have joy. He is going to give us the desires of our heart when they align to his will. And he is going to call us into just life-giving, meaningful kingdom work. And that is what our calling is going to be. I love so much that that April has found a way to surrender her calling to God and is still finding so much joy in it. And when we do the same thing, when we surrender our calling to God, just for me, when I surrendered the idea of writing and said, God, I want to write and I want it to be about you. I want it to be for your glory. I want everything that I publish or put out to point people back to you. That's my calling. And, you know, I think a lot of times we go into situations like this with the backup plan. You know, her grandfather, well-meaning, loves the Lord, yet at the same time was like, are you sure you don't want a backup plan, something more stable than this art dream? And I remember going into the ministry and being asked the same questions. You know, what's your backup plan? What happens if this job doesn't work out? What happens if this opportunity ends? What happens if? And there's all these people that are telling me, like, you need a backup plan. You need to get a real job at some point. You need to be able to do, you need to have a fallback plan. And it's like, for me, I didn't. I felt like having a backup plan, having an out would have made it likely that I would cut and run at the first sign of trouble. And I got to tell you, those first few years of ministry, there were many signs of trouble, and they only increased the years after that, including, like, even now I've had a very difficult season in ministry But I know that no matter what, this is what God has purposed me for. This is what he's created me to do. I was made for this. And if I do anything else, if I go into some other field, and I've done it, I left ministry to work in the coffee industry, and I was advancing, and I was making money, and I was doing well, and I was leading a good team, and people loved working with me and for me. Everything on the outside looked like success. It looked like it looked like I had that abundant life, but in my heart, in my spirit, I knew that that is not what God had purposed me for. I knew that he did not design me and create me to be a store manager at a coffee shop. He created me because he wanted me to be involved and in full-time ministry in the local church. That is what God put in me. That's what he's created me for. And I know that I don't have a backup plan because I don't need a backup plan, because God is always going to provide for me and my family in the way that is in alignment with his will. So long as I am pursuing the purpose for which he has created and called me, I don't need a backup plan. And as you're pursuing your purpose, when you identify what that is and you lay it down before God and you give it to him and you say, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for you, for the expansion of your kingdom and your glory, you don't need a backup plan. You don't need an out. You don't need that safety net. Like, let's be wise. You may have to do other things in the meantime. You may have to have another job as you're pursuing that calling. But at the same time, like, this is the plan. Sometimes you need to find a way to provide the means to get to that plan, to get to that point, but it's not a backup plan. So just follow that. As we were talking as well, just this idea that April started Scripture Doodle because she needed something genuine about her work. That spoke to me highly because, again, I'm a pastor. And so I read Scripture as part of my job. I read the Bible and I find ways to apply it and all of that as part of my job. And so for me, I know that sometimes it can become easy for me to approach the Bible more like a textbook than a love letter. And I've got to find ways for myself to make sure that I am engaging with this love letter as a love letter and not a textbook for my own personal spirit, for my own soul. And so for me, a lot of times that looks like engaging with it in different ways, as opposed to just sitting down, reading a passage, and then writing what I take away from that passage. I need to engage in different ways. I need to write poetry about Scripture. I need to do Scripture Doodle to help me get outside of my normal box, my normal practices and mindset, and get into this genuineness, this connection to the word in the way it was intended to be. If I sat down and wrote a love letter to my wife and she took that love letter and she read it to somebody else and said, okay, so based on this text, this is what you should do. This is how you should live your life based on this text. It might be beneficial for that person, but it is not the way that it's not going to speak to her in the way that it was intended to speak, if that's all she does with it. So for me, yes, part of my job is to read Scripture and help others understand how to apply it. But before that, so far before that, I need to read it as a love letter from my Creator to his Son and understand that it is, it's for me. It's for me too. It is for me to connect with him. It's for me to engage with him. It's for me to learn how to be more like him and engage with him in deeper and deeper ways. And then to help others do the same thing. It's the old adage about putting on your own oxygen mask before you assist someone else. It's the same with our relationship with God. If you want to help your kids engage well with Scripture and engage well with this relationship with Jesus, then you need to engage well with Scripture and engage well with this relationship of Jesus with Jesus first. They're going to see your genuineness before they ever hear what you say. They're going to see the way that you engage with God and with Scripture before they ever hear the advice that you give them based on it. And that is so important for us to remember. And the same in the ministry space. I have to remember that the people that follow me, the people that are learning from me, need to see my godliness before they experience my giftedness. They need to see that I'm connected to Jesus before I try to help them connect in the same way. And so find a way to engage with Scripture as that love letter to you before you try to use it to guide others forward. And then the last thing that really stuck out to me was when we're in the midst of pursuing our calling and we get to this point where we have to question everything, where we get to this point where we're wondering if this is really what God told us. Is it really what he wants me to do? Is this really the thing? That we have to go back to that moment. We have to go back to that time and that space. And I hear April say, so it was such a vivid memory of the situation, of it, almost exactly what Bree told her in that moment. In fact, I think she said she recited that calling 3 or 4 times through the episode, and always the same. It was always the same, because you can tell that she has clung to that moment for years and years and years. She has held on to that moment in which God told her, this is who you are. This is what I've designed you and created you to do. I need you to keep going. I need you to keep going. I've heard it said that obedience to God is doing the last thing that he told you to do until he tells you to do something different. God will never change the calling that he gave you in the light, in the darkness. He's never going to say something to you in the dark that he didn't say in the light. He won't change in the dark what he said in the light. Keep going back to that moment. Keep going back to the moment where God said, this is who you are. This is what you were designed to do. This is what I've called you for. And this is where I've called you to do it. Like I said, that last couple of months in ministry was very difficult for me, but my wife and I both know, we knew it then, we know it now, that God called us to this specific place in this specific time for a specific reason. As hard as it was, there were days when we were tired. There were days when we were broken. There were days when we were hurt. There were days when we were just so exhausted to the point where we didn't think we had anything left to give. But never, never, never did we ever think we made a terrible mistake. This is not where we're supposed to be. We knew that this is where God called us to be. And we knew that because, one, there were good days where people reminded us. And two, on the hard days, we were able to go back to the moment where we were sitting in the backseat of someone's car in Hendersonville, North Carolina, hearing the vision that God had given him for this city. And we knew this is exactly where we're supposed to be. We went back to the moment where we walked into our church for the first time and experienced just the authenticity and the genuineness in that environment, in the worship, in every aspect of it. And we knew this is where God called us to be. We remember the first time we felt the true life come alive in us in this place. And we knew that this is where God has called us to be. I'm certain there are going to be difficult days ahead. I'm certain there are going to be days ahead where I wonder if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, or where I'm supposed to be, or if this is the role that I'm supposed to be in. But I can remember with great, great vivid detail exactly when God said, this is it. This is it. And now I'm here and I'm all in. And so whatever your calling is, wherever God's called you to go, whatever he's called you to do, keep doing it. And when it's hard, and when you feel like you've got nothing left to give, and you feel like you want to give up, go back to the moment where he told you what you were supposed to do. Go back to the moment where he spoke that life and that purpose and that identity into you. Go back to that moment and let him speak it to you again. Let him refresh that calling. Let him refresh your energy. Let him give you life, because that is what is going to carry forward. And that is what is going to continue to fill you with joy and continue to fill you with purpose and continue to move you forward to be more and more of who God has called you to be. Allow him to refresh you and find the right people. Put the people in your life that say, let's do this together. That's the key. That's the key. Stay connected to God. Allow him to refresh you, remind you of your calling, and allow him to bring the right community of people around you so that you can stay in the game for the long haul. Hey, I want to thank you so much for listening to This Awesome Life. It's a collection of stories that point to purpose. If you want to stay connected with This Awesome Life, just check out the show notes. That's where you're going to find the This Awesome Life blog. You'll find my newsletter down there as well. If you want to join my email list there, you'll get some incredible free resources if you jump onto that list. One will help you identify your values. One of the key things to finding purpose, one of the key ways that we figure out what God has designed us to do is by discovering our purpose, our personal values. When we identify the things that matter to us, when we identify those things that light us up, it helps guide us toward our purpose, but it also helps guide our decisions. It provides a filter that we can look through every decision that we make in terms of these values and decide, should I do this or should I not? So again, that's a free resource that I offer just for signing up for my newsletter. That link is below. Down there, you're also going to find my social media links. If you'd like to connect with me there, I just use that as a platform to encourage. I want people to see the way that we can learn who God is and who he's created us to be just through our everyday moments. So I share some stories from time to time about, you know, running or coaching track or a great meal that I had, and all of it just points back to how God is always speaking. So I'd love to connect with you in that way if you want. Again, those links are down below. You're also going to find the links down there to get connected with April. She is incredibly creative and has done so much amazing work to help people bring scripture to life in various ways. And so I would highly encourage you to check out those links, get connected with April, check out Scripture Doodle. It's not just for kids. Scripture Doodle sounds like it's a thing that is for younger people, but honestly, I mean, Scripture Doodle is one of the things that has helped bring my own quiet time to life. But it has also helped me connect with my kids in major ways. I remember back in the day, I would wake up early to do my quiet time, and my oldest daughter would always wake up at the same time I did, and she would come downstairs and she would talk to me the whole time, and I felt like I was being distracted away from my quiet time. But eventually the Lord led me to say, like, no, teach her what this time is for, and teach her to do it herself. And so she was two or three at the time. She was young. Maybe she was a little older. She's probably four or five because she was reading. And so I would look at my quiet time for the day, and I would find one verse and I would write it at the top of a sheet of paper, and we would read it together, and then I would have her draw a picture of it for me, Scripture Doodle. And I remember just now looking back at what I thought was a distraction was actually a very, very, very sweet gift from God. It was a very powerful time for me and my daughter to engage with God together. So I would highly encourage you to connect with April. I'd highly encourage you to check out Scripture Doodle and some of the other resources that she offers. Man, one of the best things that we can do is pass on our faith, pass on this love of Jesus onto our kids. So again, I highly encourage you to connect with her. All right. If you loved this episode of This Awesome Life, man, check out some of the other ones if you haven't had a chance to yet. There were some incredible guests so far this season. Season one was awesome as well. But if you love this podcast, would you take a moment and just leave us a 5-star review? That does so much to help us get this podcast out in front of others and helps others find this this resource. So if they're struggling with purpose, this would be one of the first things that pops up. So leave us that review. Tell people why you love it. That just means a lot to us. And don't forget to like and follow this podcast so that you never miss an episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode of This Awesome Life.